Our Father and our God, we ask that you clear our hearts and minds of the cares of this day. As your church, let us come to your word expecting to be fed. For Jesus' sake, amen. The first passage comes from Deuteronomy, and I think, oh, they're going to put it up here on the wall for me so that I can see it too. Oh boy, it's in a little bitty print. That's a great trick. Thank you. You know this passage. It's wonderful. It is the foundation for our faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you are away. When you lie down and when you rise, bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Wow. The second one comes from the New Testament. It's very similar. And it starts off with just then, and then there's a lawyer. If you're any lawyer, who's a lawyer? Just then there was a lawyer. You've got one hiding somewhere. Look what the, he's over. God bless you. We're glad you're here. Thank you for letting me shoot at you, because just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus had a great answer. He said, "You tell me. How's it written? What does it say in the law? Where do you read that?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." This is the word of the Lord. Before we get going, I have an absolutely gratuitous commercial. So many people have said, "Tell us more about your stories. You have heard A, B, C, and D." If you want to hear the rest of the story, I got to plug this. There's a book that's being used for leadership classes. It's called A Long Way From Home. If you've ever wondered about the rest of the story in some of our dealings with interesting people around the world, that's here. Other people have asked for sermon book, and it's out. It's called Am I Ever Gonna Get Out of Here? I know. I didn't name it. Makes all the sense in the world. It's out there on the table. That's a great way to help row out. Pick those up on the way out, and that was my ad, because I want you to know something else. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of those guys who, when you run into him, he pulls out his cell phone and says, "Let me show you my grandchildren." And he's got 60 pictures, and every time he does this, you're supposed to say something nice about his grandchildren. Have you run into that before? Shake your head. Of course you have. I want you to know that's not me. I don't do that. I got prints. I've got the real thing. They're right. I haven't got that many, so I won't pass them around. I mean, look, is that not adorable? Have you ever seen? What do you think about that? This is the great thing about being up here. I can just bother you. Look at that picture. Isn't she precious? That's actually a niece, but she's so cute. Anyway, oh, yeah, I'm proud of mine. You're proud. You know, my big boy just graduated with honors, preschool to kindergarten. Took that big step. Made it the whole way. It was a big time. They had a graduation service, and I went to the graduation service. Sat there watching that, and I started thinking, you know, so much of our life is about graduating from this and then that and then this and then that. You get your kids out of high school, and you think, oh, we have the house to ourselves. And then they go to college, and you can't afford to eat lunch, but you got the house. They get out of college, and you think, yay, I can eat lunch. And then they move back home, and you got the house with them again while they find themselves. If you're my age or a little older, you know, graduation means something altogether different for some of us, doesn't it? Well, I've decided that church on Sunday is a graduation service. You've been through this week. You've experienced things, you've learned things, you've grown some one way or the other, and now it's time to graduate from that, get strong in the Lord so that you can face the week that's coming up next. So today, January the 22nd, I am your graduation speaker. Session had asked me to do this for a very specific reason, because you see, as soon as you walk out the doors of the church, there are just all kind of pitfalls that can trap you and catch you, and you can fall into those things. You might break a bone. break a heart, break a career, ruin your life. Those things are all around us out there. And if we can help you get around them and avoid those things, you can take the same energy that it takes to repair a life and put it into loving the Lord, and things change dramatically. It begins with our second text this morning, the lawyer, nothing personal, who came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to have eternal life? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor. All right, then let's pray, right? And let's pray together right this second. Father, today, January the 22nd, we again commit our lives to you, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, our soul, and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we ask this prayer in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Now, why did we just stop a perfectly good sermon and pray? We did it because sometime in the next 5 days, you're going to be tempted. Sometime in the next 5 days, a recurring sin in your life just may rotate back around. Sometime in the next 5 days, it may just get you. And your attitude really wants to go down the tubes. Or you may get discouraged or depressed, or you want to give up. Sometime in the next 5 days, a real challenge is going to come your way. But this time, when that challenge comes your way, you're going to look at that challenge and you're going to, wait a minute. January the 22nd. I committed to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, and that means the power in me is greater than that temptation, greater than that depression, greater than that wanting to give up, and I'm not giving into it this time because I've got the strong name of Jesus on my side. Thank you very much, and you're going to be stronger than you ever knew you were going to be. Say amen.
Amen.
You let me know what happens in the next 5 days. The other part to avoid those pitfalls is really pretty personal. I met her when she was 19 and I was 12. But I was actually doing prison ministry at the time. I won't go into it. Now, I have traveled the world for 39 years. And I will share with you that I have traveled the world primarily just on my own. I've spent literally years with people whose language I don't speak well enough to do much with. I have hiked thousands of miles through someone else's jungle, tens of thousands of miles down their rivers. I never brought him here, but I traveled the church for 12 years with a dog. My dog left his mark on more Presbyterian churches than any dog in the denomination. In fact, you don't know this, but in my backpack, the one thing that my men don't tease me about is I have a little vial of my dog's ashes in my backpack. He's in all my boats. He's in all my backpacks. He goes where I go because he always has. That's a little sentimental, but it reminds me that a whole lot of my life I've spent by myself. And sometimes I confuse that with being alone. And sometimes the loneliness is probably the greatest challenge that I face. Well, some of you feel that way. And what I've learned is that I may be by myself, but I'm never alone. Let me turn it around. You may be by yourself, but you are never alone. When you walk out of here today, you may walk out with a whole bunch of people around you that you even live with. That doesn't mean you don't feel like you're all by yourself. Hear me again. You may be by yourself, but you are not alone. You are surrounded by people who will stand with you wherever you need to stand. They will kneel with you wherever you need to pray. They will walk with you wherever you need to go if it brings you closer to Jesus. Let me prove that to you. If you are one of those people who will stand, walk, kneel, pray with someone else, would you raise your hand and let me know that you're there? Raise your hand up. Now look around you, everybody. Don't you dare tell me you're all alone in this world. You see those hands going up? Every last one of those hands just is saying to you, just let us know what you need. You may be by yourself, but you're not alone. Let us know how we can love you in the name of Jesus. My friend Rose Justice understood that. There is actually a lady here from Mississippi who will admit it. Where are you? Mississippi girl? There she look, bless her heart. Y'all say, bless her heart. My friend Rose Justice lives in Meridian, Mississippi. She's from down on the coast. Meridian's kind of in the middle. Rose lives on a farm with her husband, Rick, and then up at the barn is where Cleve is. Cleve looks after the farm, and in the barn, they have a 200-pound dog called a bull mastiff. In the house with Rick and Rose, Miss Annie looks after the house, and they have a Pekingese named Snuffy, and they have a Vietnamese pot-bellied pig named Hogbert. It is a cold January morning in Mississippi. Miss Rose is coiffed and done for the day, and she's about to head into town. She decides to let the little pig out to do his business before she goes into town. She lets the pig out without knowing that up at the barn, Cleve has just let the great big dog out. The great big dog sees a little bitty pig, and he thinks one word, breakfast. The dog runs down, he grabs the pig and starts shaking him in the mouth. The pig is screaming. Rose comes running out of the house yelling at the dog to drop the pig. The dog drops the pig. The pig jumps in the lake and starts to swim away. Rose yells at Cleve, swim out there and save my pig. Cleve starts unbuttoning his shirt very slowly when Snuffy the Pekingese comes bounding out of the house, runs up behind the bull mastiff, jumps up in the air and goes chomp and bites onto the end of the bull mastiff. The bull mastiff is going around in circles screaming. Miss Annie's on her knees calling upon the name of the Lord. The pig is swimming off in the distance. Cleve is getting undressed real slow. And Rose says, Cleve, swim out there and save my pig. Cleve says, I would be glad to, Rose, but I can't swim. Rose Justice made a fateful decision that cold January morning. Fully dressed, coiffed, done for the day, she jumped in the lake to go save her little pig. She said the pig thought it was a game. She would grab the pig and throw him. The pig would swim back to her. She'd grab the pig and throw him. The pig would swim right back to her. She said, finally, I threw that pig out of the lake, and I collapsed on the shore like a beached whale. When I finished laughing, she looked at me and she said, Mathis, there are just some things worth dying for. How many men have heard that Ford is coming out with a Bronco again? Did you see that in the news? The short wheelbase, I hope they don't frou-frou the thing, make it a Bronco. Dr. Johnny Miller, pediatrician, medical missionary of ours, bought one in South Africa and drove it all the way up to a country that was called Zaire at the time. It's now the Congo. We used that Bronco for everything. In fact, Peggy Rambo also used it. Peggy would do clinic with this, and she had a foot locker with all of her supplies in it. She'd put it in the back of the Bronco, and she'd drive out in the jungle, down these dirt roads and through the elephant grass, and she'd come to a clearing where they've taken a big tall tree and split it lengthwise and made two long benches. There are about 16 mothers with little tiny babies sitting on those benches. Peggy would back the Bronco in, and in Congo, greeting people is a big deal. It's moyo, moyo, malukai, malukai, malumimpe, malumimpe. And then everybody goes, eh. And they pray, twasakadila nzambi, thank you, Lord. They sing, eh, twakusanka, boalu, selawa, yesu. And then she holds clinic, and she examines every little baby. Some of them are so sick. Some of them have things we don't know what it is. Some are very healthy. She says something good about every one of those little babies, puts up her gear, and she turned around and faced these beautiful women, and this is what she said. We don't have enough money to buy the gasoline to keep all of these clinics open. And we've had to make a tough decision, and I'm sorry, but we're closing this clinic, and I will not be coming back. And she said she looked at 16 horrified young mothers, and she did all right. She got in the Bronco, she did okay. She started it, dropped it into gear. She said she did fine until she's driving down this dusty road, and she made the mistake of looking in the rearview mirror, and running behind her in a cloud of dust is a young mother clutching her baby like a football and screaming, if you leave, my baby will die. And she had to keep driving. I'm from Memphis. I don't know if you knew that about me. I spoke there, and a friend of mine named Russell Wiener came to hear me speak. Russell's a Jewish fella who had this great voice, and after I spoke, he came walking up to me and he goes, I want to help. And I said, well, what do you do? And he goes, I'll send it to you. And he never caught on that I was just trying to do his voice. Russell works for the company that makes Super Bubble bubble gum. He sent me 300 pounds of bubble gum to my house. My whole house smelled like the candy counter in a gas station. Oh, Lord. It came in 25-pound boxes, so I sent it to people going overseas to give out to the children. Oh, and you just finished dental assistant school, and I'm sending bubble gum overseas. You caught me, Taylor, you caught me. I sent 25 pounds of bubble gum to Dr. Frank Hellinger. He lived in Orlando. He now is retired in Winter Park, Florida. Frank Hellinger is a brain surgeon. He calls me on the phone and he goes, Mathis, what is this? I said, what does it look like? Well, it looks like a box of bubble gum. I said, Dr. Hellinger, that's good. You're a smart guy, man. If I get sick, I'm coming to see you. He didn't like that either. He goes, what am I supposed to do with this bubble gum? I said, give it to the children. Take it with you and give it out to the children. I'm not going to Africa to give out bubble gum to a bunch of children. Oh, you should have heard him. And then everywhere he goes, his lab jacket is just bulging with bubble gum. The children call it boom boom. They get outside his house in the morning, jump up and down, go boom, 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 boom. He give out boom boom to all the little kids. Is anybody 9 years old? Have we got a 9-year old? I need a 9-year old. I'll take a 10-year old. 10 hot dog, just what I need. I got one right here. I'm good to go. Tell me your name. Marlon. How are you, Marlon? Everybody say hi, Marlon.
Hi.
All right, Marlon, why don't you stand on this chair right here so they can all see you. For the rest of your life, when people look at you, they're going to remember this story. Like it or not, that's what's going to happen because Dr. Hellinger saw a young boy about your age, but he walked differently than the other children. He examined the little boy, and he discovered there was a tumor growing on this little boy's spine. Do you understand tumor? It's like a bad infection. If the doctor didn't get the tumor off of that little boy's spine, his legs wouldn't work. Now, if your legs don't work in America, how do you get around? In what? Or a
wheelchair.
Wheelchair. Very good. This is hard to tell you, but in this part of the world, there are no wheelchairs. So if your legs don't work, a lot of people end up putting flip-flops on their hands and they drag themselves along. And it's very sad to see. If the doctor operated on the little boy and made a mistake, he'd be paralyzed. If he doesn't operate on the little boy, he's going to end up paralyzed. So he decided he had to try. He put the little boy on the operating table. He spent 4 hours getting to the tumor. He got there fine. He's a very good doctor. But by the time he did, the little boy had to have blood. We didn't have electricity, much less a blood bank at the end of the hall. There's no Red Cross. There's no plasma. They went to the little boy's mother and said, will you give a pint of your blood to keep your baby alive? And she ran out the door. That's not her fault. But she thought if she gave blood to the little boy and he died, she thought she would die. Frank needs a pint of A-positive blood. His wife's name is Flossie Hellinger. She was very active in Presbyterian Women. Flossie goes, I'm A positive blood. Give this kid all my blood. Keep him alive. Don't worry about me. And she is that way. I can't even tell that without, because she meant it. And Frank said, I'll take one pint. He takes a pint of blood. He stabilizes the little boy. He goes back to work. 4 hours later, he gets the tumor out of that kid. He's going to be fine. He just has to have more blood. So Dr. Hellinger walked out of the operating room, you know, with his gloves and his gown, his mask, his cap. You know how they dress when they operate? He walks out in all of that, and he goes into the waiting area, and he's standing there going, A-positive blood. A-positive blood. And people won't look him in the eye, or they get up and walk away. They're scared. And then he remembers he's got that box of bubble gum. He goes back to the guest house. He grabs that bubble gum. He puts it on a cart that we wheel sick people around on, and he shoves it into the waiting area, and he stands there, Marlon, going, A-positive blood, boom, boom. A-positive blood, boom, boom. And finally, a man walked up going, A-positive blood, boom, boom. And Frank said, yeah, you bet. That man rolls up his sleeves. He gives a pint of blood. He takes 2 big scoops of bubble gum. He shoves them in his britches. And guess what? I have played soccer with that little boy. That little boy's alive and well, and the man ended up with a big mouthful of cavities because he didn't brush his teeth. We're going to send Taylor over there to fix them all up for him. You're going to love Congo. It's just great this time of year. Now, I know you understood that. A lot of them didn't. So let me explain it to them so they'll get it, because I know you got it. In this life, we go through a week of our lives and we learn a lot of things, and then we stop and we come to church to praise God, to seek forgiveness for the fellowship, and to get ready to graduate into a new week. And in that week, we're now entering it prepared to struggle with our temptation, knowing that we've committed our lives to God, to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're leaving here stronger than when we walked in the door. We're walking out of here realizing we may be by ourselves, but we're not alone. We're surrounded by people who love us in the name of Jesus and will do anything they can to help. We learned that, yeah, there are some things we're dying for. You. Jesus died for you. And you. And you. And you. Jesus died for you so that we can live for Him. There are a lot of things we're dying for, but there are a whole lot more things worth living for. We learned that you can't use a credit card in the jungle. I can't. Nobody takes a credit card. If I don't have the money, I can't buy the gasoline, the food, the medicine, the staff, the oil to make anything happen. So our job as believers is, first of all, give to your church. Give right here first. And once you've done that, then help us with gasoline, help us with oil, help us with food, help us do the job we're called to do around the world, but start here first. Why? Because it's so simple. If God can use a piece of bubble gum to save a little boy's life, that's exactly what He did. If God can use a piece of bubble gum to save a little boy's life, then what in the world can He do with you? God bless you. You stay strong. And God bless America. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Marlon. Put angels around him. Protect him. Help him to grow big and strong and be a servant for You in this world, because we need him. We thank You for children all over the world who are fat and sassy and cause problems, who are hungry and sad and sick. We pray for them, and that You give us big enough hearts to reach them all. And we pray for each other, that Your word will remind us as we graduate today, we do not leave this place alone, but surrounded by those who will love us in Your name. And oh, dear Lord, for that we're grateful. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.